in this season of Advent, we're exploring a little bit about what God is still wanting to do and longing to do in our world. And so we pick up this story in Luke chapter 1 and starting at verse 26. So in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Amen. So if you do have an Advent calendar this year, are there some of you who have Advent calendars this year? Any in your house? Yeah? Any chocolate-based? Oh, good. Yeah, okay. But Advent calendars are always very fascinating, aren't they? And particularly when you're a kid, of that sort of sense of having to be patient for the next door to be opened. It was so refreshing to hear that Advent calendars still only have pictures behind them rather than gifts and chocolates, because all I can remember as a kid is having a religious Advent calendar. I don't know, were they all religious in those days? You don't even know when those days were, but you're just making a guess of how old I am, and some of you are the same age, I know. But, you know, you opened a one, and there was a very strange picture behind it, wasn't there, of a bit of the Christmas story, and you got a verse on the flip side of the window. And then on the last one that was to be opened, it was a double door, which was always the most exciting thing, because you'd have these tiny doors, and then suddenly on the last one, you open this double door, and there was this realistic painting or picture of the stable and everything like that. Now, of course, Advent calendars do come in all sorts of strange shapes and sizes, and generally do contain a gift each day behind the door. I did see that you can buy a Cadbury Advent calendar for just £1 this year. Isn't that amazing? No? Okay. You can buy a cheese Advent calendar. Have you come across the cheese Advent calendar where you get a different type of cheese behind each of the doors? Or a tea bag Advent calendar I came across where you get a different tea bag. A Lego Advent calendar, which Chris has obviously got one of those ahead of the game. A jigsaw Advent calendar, a different jigsaw behind each of the doors. A Taylor Swift Advent calendar. I mean, I don't know what you get behind every door on Taylor Swift, but I'm not going to even buy one to find out. But then I think this is my all-time favorite one. It's a rubber duck Advent calendar. And every door you get a rubber duck. I think I want one of them next year, Kerry, if that's okay. I'd love one of them. I'd love one of them. And then I came across this incredible Advent calendar that was a box that was an image of a miniature Chatsworth house. So it's an actual miniature of it, a full-size 3D model miniature of Chatsworth House. And some of you will have been to Chatsworth House. And every door that you open, it reveals a piece of jewelry or a gift behind each of the doors. And the advert says, "This is not just for Christmas. The box will make the most beautiful jewelry box and a year-round adornment for your dressing table." And then it goes to give you the price. It says, "The contents of this luxurious Advent calendar are worth £25,515, but it's available to purchase for £21,995. And in big bold letters, they say, saving you £3,520. So if you're going to spend 21 grand, you might as well spend 25 grand, mightn't you? So who cares about the saving? But that's probably the most exquisite one that I've sort of seen on offer. And I don't want one of them, Kerry. It's perfectly all right. I can do without them. But whichever one you have, it is that sense of expectation, isn't it, with Advent calendars? And that's the point, really. It's this growing expectation that something is about to happen. And we're going to be thinking today about this sense of Advent expectation as we build up towards this Christmas Day opening of the doors and celebrating again the coming of Jesus as a baby. But what about the increasing expectation that goes way beyond the 25th of December this year? The expectation that we're longing for God to get us out of the mess that we seem to have gotten ourselves into in this world. Because I think that really is what Advent surely is all about. It's looking beyond the celebration of the coming of Jesus as a baby to the joyous celebration of the coming again, which is God's promise to all who will trust him, all who will continue to seek him. Now, I don't think this is an afterthought of God. I don't think he's looking down and seeing the mess we've got ourselves into and thinking, I must come up with plan B because this clearly isn't working. I think this has been his plan from the very first word that he uttered when creation first began. And that place of Eden that was the place where God lived and walked with his people in the perfect relationship is surely where God wants this whole story to head back again in some time in the future. That is our Advent expectation. That is the hope that Christians will have today and every day. Hope not based on wishful thinking. This isn't just I hope for something at Christmas. Not wishful thinking, but hope based on the coming of Jesus as a baby and the promise that God has continued to give and bring to those who trust him. Hope that involves us participating in the continuation of God's now and not yet purposes every single day here. Because we're living in that tension. It's come, the kingdom has come, but it's not yet come. And so we are the people who have to live in that tension, but also to move forward until the day when it happens. We do that in our families, in how we build and grow our families. We do that in our neighbourhoods, of how we live in our neighbours. We do that on our front lines, of how we are as representatives of Jesus on those frontline places where we are every single day. And this Advent expectation lifts us from the place of despair every time we stop and listen to the news to a fresh realization that God promises to fulfill that he will come again. But I guess at times like me, you may have felt that God has let you down because he hasn't come back yet. And because those times when you've cried out for his coming again and we're still waiting, that he hasn't yet fulfilled his promises, that he hasn't yet answered all your prayers in the way that you wanted them to be answered. And so just like those two disciples who you may remember after the crucifixion were walking away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, you can read the story in Luke chapter 24. You say to the stranger who comes and walks with you, we had hoped that he was going to be the one who would redeem Israel. And we're still in that place. We had hoped that now was going to be the time when he would come again. The one who would set everything right, who would fulfill and complete the story now. Because I don't know about you, but I'm feeling I wish it would happen today. And there's still time today, but it hasn't happened yet. But we still have hope. And I think that's the challenge for us during this Advent season, is to rediscover this Advent expectation once again this year. You know, in Luke chapter 24, the story of this downcast walk, Luke only names one of the two followers of Jesus who are walking away. If you know the story, you'll know that. And there's a lot of speculation about who it might be, and maybe it's another one of the disciples, maybe it's his wife. We just don't know. But I was wondering this week, I wonder if Luke very cleverly left room for the other one to be me. That I was the one who was walking away, downcast, because He hasn't come again. And I had hoped that there would be a day when it would happen. Or maybe it's you. Maybe it's you who's walking away, downcast, wondering whether it's going to happen. Because it's too easy to lose sight of what Advent is all about. If all we do is rush towards the opening of the final door on the Advent calendar this year, and that's all we're heading to is the 25th of December and celebrating the birth of Jesus. Advent calls us to journey slowly, sometimes in despair, sometimes in despondency, like those two on the road that particular day. But then it invites us to rediscover the reality of what this time is truly all about. And I think that's what this couple, Mary and Joseph, I think that is what this story will teach us. It teaches us to respond in these moments that takes us beyond the immediate into the future of God's promises to us. And so this morning, I just want to offer you three things to do while we wait. While we wait for this Advent coming of God's kingdom in all its fullness. So here's the first thing I urge you to do this Advent. Make space for what you don't understand. Make space for what you don't understand. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, we have the story of Joseph encountering the angel and inviting Joseph to be part of this plan. In verse 18 of Matthew 1, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." See, Joseph had decided to divorce Mary quietly. That was his response to what had happened, because he couldn't understand how it had happened and why it had happened. So his response was natural to say, "Okay, I will divorce her," in this case, quietly. Yet, here's Joseph able to change his mind and become part of God's ongoing plan. See, he's saying, "God, I don't understand what is happening, but because you say so, then I will do it." He made space in those moments for what he didn't, perhaps what he couldn't understand that was about to happen. Mary, she was greatly troubled by the angel's visit, but she listened and she responded to what she heard. And I think for Advent to be a valuable time that we need to reach out again to all that God has promised, then we need to make space for the things that we don't understand. There's so much going on around us that is hard to understand. Israel and Palestine, Ukraine and Russia, the political situation, not only in our own nation, but in many nations around the world today, which seem to be in chaos. Perhaps things happening in your workplace that are so difficult to understand, or in relationships in your family that you just cannot begin to comprehend how or why it is happening. But Advent says, make space for the things that you don't understand. Sometimes we just have to step away from it in order to see perhaps God is at work in this somehow. See, the Bible story makes it absolutely clear that Jesus is going to come again. He's going to return to make all things new. You see it throughout Scripture, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I mean, just take Isaiah for instance, you know, among many of the prophets who are looking forward to that day when he comes again. The New Testament, it's soaked in this atmosphere of Jesus coming again. Jesus said it. Paul reminded his, the followers about it. Revelation paints us a picture of it. I mean, a pretty weird picture, I have to say. But it is definitely a picture of what is going to come. And we need this hope. Not to give up what we're doing, but to spur on what we're doing. To make space for what we don't understand. You know, that's what Mary and Joseph seemed to do in those moments. All of a sudden, this young couple separately made some space to say, I don't understand, but God, I'm just going to trust you in this. This was the hope that they carried in their lives. Remember the situation they were in. They were part of an oppressed minority under Roman occupation. He was a carpenter. His fiancée was now facing disgrace due to an unexpected pregnancy. But they knew the story of their people. It had been handed down to them generation by generation by generation to expect that God was going to do something. And they made space in this moment for what they didn't understand. And even if it feels too difficult for you to ever understand what God is or isn't doing, we can make space for the possibility that it is true, because we can trust God with what he said and listen in those moments to what he's saying. Isaiah tells us that the government will be on the shoulders of Jesus. Should we vote for that? Should we vote for that? Please hurry up. It says that the new kingdom will establish and uphold justice and righteousness from this time on and forever. Justice and righteousness. Please hurry up. We make space now for what we don't understand with this longing for God to do this thing. But while we're waiting, opening one door at a time on the calendar, we keep our Advent expectation wrapped up in Jesus. So make space, expand your expectation to allow God's promise, his coming again, to invade your plans, to invade your decisions, to invade your relationships. Make space for it to happen. To give us peace, even in the turmoil of the world right now, whether globally or personally, to give you that sense of peace that he is in control. Confidence in him. Yeah, you know, that's what happened way at the beginning. You know, the book of Genesis, that perfection in Eden, and then Adam and Eve sinned, and then what did God do? He banished them from the garden. And what did he put in place? He put in place two flaming swords, didn't he, at the entrance. And what I love to think about Advent is it's the time when those swords are going to be gone and we're going to be invited back into the perfection and the beauty of that place again with walking with God in the garden. Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the door. I'm going to open the way again for you. So make space for what you don't understand. Secondly, make time for God to interrupt your plans. Both Joseph and Mary had great plans all set up. Engaged, wedding, business, children, grandchildren. I mean, it's just the normal sort of perfect life that all of us seek, isn't it? Our plans are going there, but it didn't quite work out for them that way. God interrupted their plans. I'm sure that's happened to you along the way. Interrupted by others, changing their minds, by choices you've made, by decisions that you've made, by health issues, by job loss, by financial difficulties. We've all had those moments when those plans have been where our plans have been interrupted. And for some of us, those are the moments when suffering enters our lives as well. But I think that this is what Advent expectation can give us back. I think that Jesus is with us in the suffering, in those change of direction, in those interruptions to our plans. In fact, I believe that Jesus will use those moments, our sufferings and the change of direction, the things that don't go our way, I think he'll use them to change us and form us into the people of love. No one wants to suffer, of course, but God seems to have a way of turning suffering into glory if we'll trust him and let him interrupt those plans that we had. God is with us in those moments. His name will be called Emmanuel after all. God with us. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Nothing can separate us from his love. And so whatever the interruption, he's going to be there. He's going to make himself known in those places. And Advent is a reminder that when the worst happens, somehow it isn't wasted. It softens our hearts often to love others in a way we haven't done before, a way we couldn't have done before. But when we go through the suffering, it gives God us a moment, a space to do what he wants to do. Mary's Magnificat, her great song where she glorifies God that Luke records for us in Luke chapter 1, verses 46. This song reminds us of the transformation that God brings even in the toughest of circumstances. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will be called blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Do you see what happens? The humble are lifted up. The hungry are filled, the helpless find mercy. This is all because we make time for God to interrupt our plans. And even the interruption of our life will achieve in us greater things than we could ever hope for. So when tough things happen, remember, Advent reminds us every day that this story is heading somewhere better for all of us. And in the rush, make time for God to interrupt your plans, to learn why and what for. And finally, I just invite you to make a response today to God's invitation about tomorrow. Make a response today. What does Joseph do? Well, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And he took Mary home as his wife. He responded today, knowing that there was something tomorrow. What does Mary do? She says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Both of them, given a glimpse of the future and embracing it in the present. And that, I think, is the Advent invitation to us all. To have a glimpse of the future and embrace it today. You know, if Jesus is going to come back in the future, what difference will it make to how I live my life now in the present? Yeah, N.T. Wright, the theologian, he says this in his book, Surprised by Hope. Heaven is the place where God's purposes for the future are stored up. It isn't where they're meant to stay so that one would need to go to heaven to enjoy them. It is where they are kept safe against the day when they will become a reality on earth. See, he's coming again. It's happening here, and all the splendor and the glory that has been reserved for that day is going to be here. Heaven is the place where God's purposes for the future are stored up. There's something more, and we get a glimpse of it every day. One day, it will come when literally the final door will be opened, and we know it's going to be okay. So today, put your hope back onto Jesus. He is born. He is coming again. There will be times when you feel like walking away, like those two disciples after the crucifixion. But it's often in our confusion that the stranger comes closer, that Jesus walks with us in our doubt and in our joy, just waiting for us when we arrive. So maybe Advent is the time to stop pretending that everything is fine. It's not fine, is it? It's not fine. It's dark, even though the light is still shining. And so our response is to put our hope in Jesus, our expectation that he is going to come again. We don't know when, but we know he will. And until then, we wait with that hope every single day, making space and making time and making a response with that Advent expectation running through everything that we do. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled.